running start right here tonight, and man, this seems loud. Is this loud to everybody else or just me? Something wrong? Muffled. Keep talking. Testing. What about that? Better? A little better? All right. Hard to make me sound good. 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know about the rest of you preachers, but sometimes I listen to preachers and think, how you really do this, man. They got a voice like it's just clear and deep, and then they sing, and glory to God. Yeah, it's hard for me. I don't, it's hard to do anything with this with me. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and look in verse 8, the Bible says this: finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And so what I want to look at down here is in verse 8. I just want to hit this one word here, and don't really know if this is going to be more of teaching, or if it's going to be preaching, or if it's going to be a combination of both. But I want to preach tonight on true compassion. True compassion. And there in verse 8 he says this: finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. And so what you have there is you have a commandment that we should be having compassion for one another, for each other, right? Being able to have compassion one toward another. And that's a commandment there. And the reason there's a commandment there is because that's not something that's natural. A lot of times, especially if you feel like people are doing something against you, or they don't like you, you have a frustration with them, whatever it might be, it's kind of hard to have compassion on people. Sometimes you look at people and they seem a little cocky, a little arrogant, or something like that, and it's hard to have compassion on people when you see how cocky and arrogant they are at times, and the way they talk, and those types of things. And it's hard to have compassion. But the Lord told us we're supposed to have compassion one with another. And then in verse 9, even in the context, he's talking about not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. And those verses right there, those are verses there that if I was going to change the Bible, if I was going to get some verses out of the Bible, it'd be that one right there and the one when people do you wrong, you're supposed to take it patiently. Those are verses I'd be after, right? And God had to make sure that this is in here so we know we're supposed to be trying to do it. Now, but if you're going to have compassion one to another, compassion is. And you know what it is. That's what I want to preach about tonight, which is true compassion. I want you to understand this. First of all, the world, there's so many times in your Christian walk, your Christian life, when you're around people, they're going to be talking to you, and they're going to be saying things like, well, if you were a real Christian, you would do this right here. Or they'll say things like, well, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. Sometimes we're right. Sometimes we're messing up, right? But sometimes it's just because we're saying, thus saith the word, thus saith the Lord God, right? We're telling you what the Bible says, and because of that, they get their feelings hurt because they don't want to know what God says, and they don't want to do what God says. They don't want to submit themselves to the word of God. They don't want to do what God says. You got men that want to get married, and they don't want to be faithful to their wives, so they don't want to go what the Bible says. You got women that get married and don't want to be submissive to their husbands, so they don't want to do what the Bible says. So a lot of times people get frustrated with you, and instead of just saying, I don't like what the Bible says, they'll say you don't have compassion, or they'll say things like you're not a real Christian, or those types of things. So if we're going to talk about true compassion, we're going to talk about having compassion one of another, we need to get it from the Bible and find out what true compassion is. First of all, here's what we know. Compassion is never condoning sin. God never condones sin. That's never a type of compassion. Compassion is not compromising with sin. When that lady was caught in adultery there, and the Lord Jesus Christ had grace on her and had mercy on her, he looked at that lady and said, go and sin no more. God never condones sin. That is never compassion. Don't ever let in the world, don't ever let anybody that you talk to, don't ever let anybody that's lost or in another religion or whatever, or trying to make you feel bad or whatever, try to get you to think that compromising is condoning sin or compromising your life to be in line with what the world says. That's never is that ever compassion, ever. Nowhere in the Bible you're going to find that. You're going to find God forgiving sin, You're going to have God being gracious with sin. You're going to have God being merciful because of sin. He's going to be long-suffering with sin. But you're never going to find God condoning sin. That's never compassion, ever. What that is, that's called sinning is what that is. When you're sitting there and you're condoning sin for somebody else and you're acting like what God said is wrong with this Bible, or you feel like you've got to sit here and defend what God said in His Word about what's right and about what's wrong, then what you're doing is you're sinning. You're acting like God don't know what He's talking about. So as Christians, what we got to do, what we're supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do, is I'm supposed to take God at His Word, and I'm supposed to preach against sin, regardless of who gets mad, regardless of however they take it. A lot of times they won't even say that you're wrong. They'll say, well, I just don't like the way you say it. I don't like the way you do it. You act like you're happy to call somebody a sinner. I don't ever act like that. I told you once before, the way I deal in the pulpit and the way I preach on sin in the pulpit and the way I preach the Word of God and preach hard on sin in the pulpit is way different than I deal with sinners when I'm out in the world and I'm talking to people. If I'm at work and there are people that's caught up in sin or they're doing wrong, I don't walk around preaching like I'm preaching right now. I don't even bring it up to people like that. You say, what do? I'm just gracious and I'm long-suffering and I put up with stuff like that. They put up with me, I put up with them, right? That's what you have to do. But as a preacher, when you get in the pulpit, your job is to proclaim the words of God. And if it makes somebody mad, I can't help it. I'm not compromising. I'm not condoning sin. I'm never giving up on that. I'm never going to do that, ever. I'm never going to give up that, especially in the pulpit, especially there preaching the pulpit. Now, so what we have to do is realize then, if compassion is not condoning sin, and it's not compromising with sin, what is compassion? And compassion is not just a thought process, right? It's not just thinking about something. You know, you can have pity on somebody and just be thinking about something that they're doing, right? But when you're talking about compassion will move you to actions. Compassion are actions that is produced from a place of sympathy. Now, when you see missionaries come in, a lot of times they'll have slides and they're trying to give you a conviction toward the burden that they have, so you'll understand the burden that they have. And a lot of times you'll see they'll have things up there, they'll have young kids up there. And I've heard people over the years say, wow, man, I don't know why they do that for. They're trying to jerk heartstrings and all this stuff. And listen, you know who had compassion in the Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ had compassion in the Bible. Compassion is not the flesh. Compassion is being sympathetic towards somebody else's circumstances, right? When you see somebody else going through something, what we usually say instead of saying, well, I have compassion for somebody, what we'll say is something like, well, I just feel sorry for that little young boy or that young girl or something like that right there. And there is not only is there nothing wrong with having compassion, we are supposed to have it. There's a commandment that we're supposed to have compassion. And so we're going to go ahead and get started here, and I'm just going to have another word of prayer here. And Joshua, if you would you pray for us? Amen. All right, so first of all is this right here, is that we realize, according to Psalm 78, that compassion, the Lord having compassion with us, is got to do, when He's having compassion, according to Psalm 78, He's forgiven us. It's forgiveness. Part of compassion is forgiving people. People have done you wrong. People have done things against you. And what we want to do is we want to hold people accountable. We want to be hard on people. This person done this to me. It's easy to hold a grudge. It's easy to be frustrated. They may even have done something to wrong you in times past. But if you have compassion, according to Psalm 78, what it's dealing with is it's dealing with forgiveness. And there's different places here that we'll look at right here in the middle, but in a minute. But first of all, I want to talk about this. There is forgiveness. Compassion is forgiveness. And when I look at that, look over to Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel chapter 16. And we're going to be all over the place, so probably won't be back to 1 Peter 3. Ezekiel chapter 16 is the type of salvation right here. And it's talking about Israel and Jerusalem, obviously, here, and what the Lord did for them. But spiritually speaking, it's typifying salvation. And when we think about compassion, the Lord had compassion on each and every one of you. If I sit here and look out here today and look at you, how many of you in here tonight saved on your way to heaven? Raise your hand. Amen. Saved on your way to heaven. God gave you forgiveness. God took care of you, right? You say, what is that? God had compassion on us. God had compassion on us. Look here in Ezekiel chapter 16. When the world didn't have compassion on you, the Lord had compassion on you. Ezekiel chapter 16, look at verse 4. The Bible says that as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Now when you see that situation right there and you think about this, and you think about a baby that's been born. I mean, obviously, a bunch of kids around this place right here, so you've been around some situations where you're excited about a birth, whether it's a child or it's a grandchild, and you sit there and you look at that baby and you see how vulnerable that baby is, and you just look at it and you think about, man, just how easy it would be to just destroy that life in your hand. I mean, a lot of times they're no bigger than that right there, right? I mean, just that big. And you just look at it, how vulnerable it is. And you picture what he's saying right here is you're like a newborn babe out in a field. That they had the baby, then nobody cleaned it up, nobody swallowed that baby. They just threw it out in an open field and nobody cared about it. That's what we were like before we were saved. That's the way we were born in this world. We were born in sin. And nobody cared about us. But true compassion is caring about something that's vulnerable like that. And so what ends up happening, look at verse 6, it says, and when I passed by thee, he said, nobody had compassion on you in verse 5. But verse 6, he says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. You know what that is? That's the type of somebody there getting born again, having life, getting eternal life. That's what that's the type of right there. I think back about my life. Just think about me. I think about getting saved at 9 years old. And here I was as a 9-year-old boy, had no idea. I didn't even have any idea about church. I had heard stuff about heaven and hell. I had heard about, you know, people go to hell. I'd been to church. I'd heard stories and here and there. But as a 9-year-old boy, I'm sitting there. And God put me in a situation where they had a revival. Years later, I realized it was a Calvinistic church. But thank God, at least they were preaching the gospel and they were preaching it right. And they were telling people that if they died in their sins, they were going to die and go to a devil's hell where it's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and they were going to stay there forever. I thank God I got the real message, a real sermon. It wasn't watered down. I was scared to death as a 9-year-old boy, and I thank God somebody scared me. And I'm sitting there, and as a 9-year-old boy, and I'm sitting in that revival, and I'm sitting right there in that first pew. My buddy's sitting right beside me, Todd West, and I'm sitting right beside him in the first pew. And that preacher's up there, and he's preaching about hell, and he's preaching about what happens to sinners when they go to hell. I'm sitting there realizing I'm a sinner. First time I ever remember applying that to me, thinking, man, I'm on my way to hell. I don't know what I'm going to do. Thank God he came to me. Thank God he had a messenger. Thank God he had somebody going to tell me the truth. And as a 9-year-old boy, I sat there and went through that thing, waited that altar call. And when I got to that altar call, I didn't come to the altar. Didn't come to the altar. Man, I'm so glad God didn't give up on me. I'm glad he didn't quit, right? I went home that night and talked to my parents. They didn't know how to lead me to the Lord. Didn't know anything about it. But I'm sitting there and I'm listening. I'm scared to death. I can still remember laying on that couch crying and them down by the on knees at the couch trying to console me, trying to tell me everything be all right. We're going to get to the preacher. We're going to do this. I can still remember laying there and thinking, man, if something happens to me, I'm going to die in my sins and I'm going to go to hell. I was scared to death. Went to school the next day, scared to death. All the way through school, getting there, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, what am I going to do? Can't wait till I get to church tomorrow night. Tonight, I'm going to get that thing fixed. Got out of school, went home, got ready for church, went to church, sat there in that pew, went through a whole other message, preaching on hell, and that revival there, telling people they're going to die and go to hell. Knew for sure I was going to go to hell, and finally, got to the altar call. Thank God I walked to that altar and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what is that? God said, live. He said, the world ain't got nothing for you, but I've got some compassion for you. Real compassion is worried about people that are dying in their sins and they're going to hell. That's one type of compassion right there. True compassion is worried about people and their eternity and where they're going to spend eternity and bothering people and not worrying about what they think about you and not caring whether or not they're going to get mad at you, but you're sitting here trying to tell them, listen, there's a devil's hell, but God sent His Son to die for you, and I'm going to tell you out of compassion of my heart that you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. There's people dying and going to hell every day in Scott County. There's people dying going to hell every day in the United States of America. Overseas, everywhere, people are dying and going to hell. And you know what they need? They need somebody with some compassion. Some true compassion that's going to tell them about Jesus Christ. I got Stephen and his wife Katie, my daughter-in-law, and then my two daughters. They're getting ready to go to Honduras down there. You know why? To tell people about Jesus Christ. But you know what? They have compassion down there. You know what else that produces that compassion? Is they get down there and they see that orphanage and they see those kids and they sit there and they look at those kids and see what those kids are going through. Some of them's been sex trafficked and they got stories and they sat down there and they weep and they cry with those kids and they weep and they cry with those ladies that are now older and they're telling stories about what happened to them when they were younger and how they came around that orphanage there and somebody told them about Jesus Christ. Somebody had compassion on them and they got saved. Thank God for somebody that will have compassion on somebody and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Compassion is dealing with forgiveness of sins, not just salvation. Look over at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. The story of the prodigal son. And I don't know about you, but I'll read this story right here. Boy, there's... I could just sit there and read that story, man. I was that kid. I was that prodigal son. I got saved when I was 9 years old. Didn't stay in church, didn't do what I was supposed to do in church, didn't live like I was supposed to live. And I didn't know any better. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not trying to be a victim here. All I'm telling you is I didn't live right. Didn't live right. And there was this time in my life from the time I was 9 years old to the time I was 23 years old when I met my wife and started coming to church here at Trinity Baptist Church and started getting the truth preached to me. And I decided to get right. I was that prodigal son coming here at 23 years old. I thank God that God, even though I messed up for 14 years, just messed up, thank God when I decided to get right, thank God He didn't say, gave you a shot when you was 9 years old. You've messed up for 14 years. You've messed up. You've went against me. You've not lived right. I'm not giving you an opportunity to get right. I'm not going to let you get right. I ain't doing anything for you. He didn't do me like that. You know why? Because He had compassion. That's compassion. It's forgiveness of sins. And that here it says in verse 17. Verse 17, the Bible says, and when He came to Himself, He said, how many hired servants of my father's had bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of those hired servants. And he's ready to just be a servant. He's ready to just get in where he can get in at. And you know what he does? He looks out there, and he's on his way home. He's thinking, man, Dad's down on me. He's probably embarrassed of me. He's probably ashamed of me. He probably won't even talk to me. All I want to do is be able to come in and work for him, and I'll just stay out there in the barn. I'll stay out there in the hired servant's house. I don't have to have anything from my dad. I don't have to look at him. He don't have to even acknowledge me as a son. Woo-hoo. And he got coming home, and he's going out through there. The Bible says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Ain't you glad when you've messed up and you're ready to come back home and you're coming back to the farm? God ain't left. And He's still saying, come on home, son. I'm going to meet you halfway. I'm not going to look down on you. I'm going to put a new robe on you. And I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to feed you. And I'm going to show you that you're still my son. Compassion. You say, what is compassion? Compassion is forgiveness, not just when you get saved, but when you get right. Thank God when you're ready to get right, He's ready to listen. He's always ready to listen. Right over in 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the day I started to get right and walk down an altar and say, God, I'm had it.
I've been wrong. I've been in this world, God. I acknowledge who I am, God. I acknowledge what I've done. Thank God. Thank God, Lord, that you're here and you're ready to receive me back as a son. Not as a servant, as a son. Thank God for that. You say, what is that? That's compassion. That's compassion. Look over at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Being God's good. We don't know what true compassion is. True compassion is forgiving people. Looking at people and understanding, you know what? I get it. I know where you've been. But I'll tell you something else God forgives us about. He'll forgive you when you get saved. And He'll forgive you when you get right. I'm going to tell you something else God does. When you're wrong and you're doing bad, and anybody else in the world would throw and kick you off to the curb, God still forgives you. Look here in Psalm 78. When you ain't even asking for forgiveness. Psalm 78, verse 35, it says, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Thank God for a day in your life when you remembered that. But look at verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand on the day when he delivered them from the enemy. And it goes on down there and talks about all the things that they were doing wrong, but God looked at them when they wasn't looking at God. And the Bible says he remembered they were but flesh. And those 14 years from 9 years old to the time I was 23 and got right and got in church, I thank God for a God that looked at me when I was a teenager, thinking thoughts I shouldn't be thinking, saying things to girls I shouldn't be saying to girls, trying to get away with things I shouldn't be getting away with. And then went to work at a steel factory somewhere, or making steel beams and or putting up steel buildings and talking like a mess, acting like a mess, and doing all things wrong that I shouldn't be doing. Joining the army. Man, if anybody would have asked anybody that knew me from that I was in the army with, if they would have said, hey, did that guy right there, you think he's going to die and go to heaven? They would have laughed. That's how bad of a life I lived. I lived all those never thinking about God, never thinking about what I was doing, never thinking about sinning against God. Got right with God. Thank God I got right as a 9-year-old boy. But from 9 to 23, I never thought about him much. Every now and then I might think about praying, might think about reading my Bible, but I didn't do anything, and I acted a fool. I acted like an animal. You know what God did? God forgave me. When he should have sat there and said, I've had enough of this guy. I'm killing this guy. He's worthy of death. I'm done with him. Thank God for a God that looked at me and said, I remember he's just flesh. He's just living his life like a lost man will, but he's still my son. I'm still going to forgive him. I'm still going to take care of him. I'm still going to get him back home one of these days. Thank God he didn't just kick me to the curb. You want to know what compassion is? Compassion is what? Is when you see somebody messing up that's a Christian, and you see somebody messed up and their life's going down the road, real true compassion is trying to put yourself in their place and saying, you know what? Man, I was there. I've been in the pig pen, and God didn't throw me off to the side. I'm going to have some compassion on these people. I'm not going to condone their sin. I'm not going to compromise with sin. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be an ear they can lean on. I'm going to be somebody they can talk to. I'm going to be somebody that will show them a little bit of love. You say, what is that? That's what God gave you. God gave you that. He loved you when you wasn't lovable. He loved you when you was messing up, when you turned your back on him, and you was living for the world and living for yourself, and God was not in the picture. He still loved you, and he still had compassion on you. You say, what is that? That's true compassion. True compassion is built on what? It's built on forgiveness and looking at people and being sympathetic to the situation that they're in. The second thing is this right here is sacrifice. With compassion should come sacrifice. What I mean by that is this right here, is you're going to put yourself out for somebody else. You're going to put yourself out because somebody else is in need. And you've got something and they ain't got it.
You've got some compassion because you see somebody. Over there in Exodus chapter 2, we won't turn over there for the sake of time, but when Moses was that baby, they put him out there in that little ark right there and shoved him out there in the river. And the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter, what did it say? It says she had compassion on him because she saw that baby right there, that vulnerable little baby right there. And you know what she did? She brought him in. And she started spending money on him. She started taking care of him. She put clothes on him. She fed him. She paid somebody to feed that baby. Why? Because they're sacrificed with compassion. Compassion ain't just pointing out, you know, this person needs help. Compassion is what? Helping that person. Going to places. Man, I remember being down there in Belize. And when I was down there in Belize and going to those little huts and all these different places and what a mess these people were in and the way they were living, and my heart just went out to them. You say, what'd you do? I tried to give them everything that I had. And the missionary was like, Brother Jack, you can't be giving them money. He said, you can't be giving them money. They'd be expecting it every time we come down here. I said, Brother Tony, I can't help it. I look here and I see these little kids, these little boys, these little girls, and I think about my kids, and I think about how I was raised, and somebody needs to help these kids. I can't help it. You say, what is it? It's compassion. Compassion. That's what compassion is. It is sacrificing. Look over at Luke. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. True compassion is not just forgiveness, but it's also sacrifice. It should have action with it. Luke chapter 10, you know the story. If you know much about the Bible, you've heard this story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan here. And the Bible says there's three guys come by, all religious people or whatever, and people, and they walk over on the other side and they're scared and they won't help. But you know what? You ever been in that spot where you were that guy that needed help? Ain't you thankful when somebody helps you and somebody looked at you and didn't look down on you and didn't go to the other side of the road but sat down and said, you know what? That person right there needs some help. I remember growing up, the way I grew up, just didn't have a lot. And I remember people saying they felt sorry for me, parents and stuff. And I didn't know what any of that stuff meant. But here's what I didn't know. Over, I think it was in 1982. Did they have the World's Fair in 1982? Is that when it was? 1982. No way Jack Butt's ever going to be able to go to the World's Fair. No way. It wasn't going to happen. And last day of the year, that World's Fair, Todd West, Mom and Dad, called me and said, hey, why don't you go with us? We're going to take you over here to the World's Fair. He said, is that a big deal? That's a big deal to me. I ain't never forgot something like that. See, what is it? That's compassion. You know what they did? They paid for me to get over there. They paid for me for a ticket to... I remember going around and they gave Todd money and then he'd run around all over the place, run rides and doing all this stuff. And every time we had to eat, he sat down and he paid for my food. They took care of me the whole time I was over there. And people like that all through my life taking care of me. You say, why? Because they had compassion on me. They just had some sacrifice. They sacrificed their own stuff for me. You say, what is that? That's real true compassion. You see these bus kids running here. See them kids running, Brother Jack. I love it. Look, what a mess, man. He bounces off the walls. He's all over the place, jumping up, going back there, sitting this and then sitting that and then going back there. I mean, he got ADHD to the 10th power. But what a kid, man. I love that kid. Braylon, I love that kid. And, man, we're getting those kids from the hills and the hollers and the trailer parks and from the projects everywhere we can get them on the vans. They're hanging out the windows and they're coming inside here, man. You know what they need? They need some compassion. They need some people to love on them. Those idiots get on the comments when they get up here and sing, and they say, what a pretty song. Just too bad they can't show them kids how to dress. How to dress? You don't even know where we're getting those kids from. Quit putting them stupid comments on there. You got to have some compassion for those kids. Compassion for those children. A bunch of teachers in here. You see kids every day of your life. You see them out there. You know what they need? And all of you do it. You do it. You've taught me how to have compassion. I listen to the stories. I listen to you request prayer for those people right there. There's people out there, and you know what they need? They need compassion. They need somebody to love on them at times. Say, what is that? It's sacrifice. It's going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you some time. They're going to tear some stuff up down there at the gym. They're going to tear some stuff up. You say, why? Because they're just kids, man. They're kids. They don't know any better. And we're just getting them in here. So what are you going to do? We're going to spend some money and fix it. We're going to spend some money and fix it. You're going to have church camp up here in a couple of weeks. About 6 weeks, we're going to have church camp.
kids from all over the place. You know what you're doing? You put money in this plate. We're paying. More of them kids have to pay to go to church camp that weekend. They get to listen to preaching. They get to sit up there and talk and go on and have a good time. And we love on them and enjoy their time with them. It's great. You say, what is that? That's called compassion. You still got compassion? You still have compassion? True compassion. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about humanism. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about where you see somebody and you've got that sympathy for them, whether they're dying and going to hell or whether they need somebody to protect them or they need somebody to help them, whatever it is, it's going to take some sacrifice. In Luke chapter 10, verse 33, here's what it says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was," talking about the guy that was down, got hurt. It says, "He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." You know what compassion is going to cost you? It's going to cost you some money. Those letters back there on the wall, these missionaries, Brother Andy, these missionaries getting over there, you know what it cost us? It costs us money to get them over there. It costs us money. And the only way you're going to put that money in that plate and that type of stuff is if you've got compassion. You've got compassion. So compassion is not just forgiveness, not just sacrifice. I'll tell you something else on compassion. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Man, I love the Lord. He is so good to me. What a mess I'd be in if it wasn't for God. Second Chronicles chapter 36. Verse 14 says this, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem." So talking about they just kept messing up, and they just kept messing up. And look at God's compassion in verse 15. It says this, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending." Why? Because he had compassion on his people. You know what compassion is? It's God sending you messengers. God had compassion on you tonight by sending you a messenger to stand up. I ain't nobody. Just a messenger. I'm just sitting here talking, just trying to tell you what God said, laying it out here, talking about what true compassion is. But you know what God's doing when he does that? When he gives you somebody to talk to you, to preach to you, to teach you in Sunday school or whatever else, when you was growing up, that was God having compassion on you. Read that verse again. "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes," that's early, "and sending, because he had compassion on his people." Look at Matthew. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Look down at verse 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes," see, there's something you gotta look, guys. If you're gonna have compassion, you gotta use your eyes. You gotta see some stuff. You gotta look around. You gotta quit worrying about yourself and start looking around and see what other people are going through. He said, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." What is that? It's messengers. That's messengers. You know that compassion that he had? You say, what is he going to do? He's going to send some messengers. He's going to send some messengers to Nepal. He's going to send them to Bolivia. He's going to send them to Belize. He's going to send them to Mexico. He's going to send them to Hungary. He's going to send them to Thailand. He's going to send them to China. You say, what is it? It's messengers. You got a bunch of kids that come to church here every Sunday morning. They got messengers down there in Sunday school. This class, that class, that class, that class. You know what that is? That's God having compassion on people. When he's, thank God for preachers. Thank God for men that'll stand and proclaim the Word of God.
Thank God for Sunday school teachers that'll spend time through the week thinking about their kids and praying for their kids and God, how am I going to give this lesson? How am I going to do that lesson? And bringing in food to feed these kids because they come in on a bus and they ain't had nothing yet. You say, what is it? Thank God for some Sunday school teachers. Thank God for some parents that'll sit down and they'll teach some people the right way. Teach their kids the right way. You say, what is it? That's a blessing from God. If you got good parents and you had good parents when you grew up, that was a compassionate God giving you a messenger, telling you right from wrong, taking you to church, getting you saved at a young age, telling you right from wrong, keeping you out of trouble, praying for you, getting you in a church that's going to teach you right, do right, show you right, take care of you. Thank God for some parents that do right. That's compassion from God on those kids. Thank God for messengers. He said this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers, messengers, into his harvest. He said over there, he said, God had compassion on them by sending them people that's going to tell them the right, what's right and what's wrong. Thank God. Look at, go to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Man, how many times have we got that stuff? Somebody's preached to us. They preached to us about pride. They preached to us about forgiveness. They preached to us about long-suffering. Preached to us about being gracious. Talking about bitterness springing up and defiling many and messing our life up and all those types of things. And we sit there and we don't even think about it. Sometimes even get frustrated because the preacher's telling us we ought to show up for church. Or we ought to read our Bible. Or we ought to stand up. We ought to give out tracts. And we get mad. Look what he says in Proverbs chapter 5. Talking about the lips of a strange woman going down through there, and he gets down there in verse 11. It tells him what all is going to happen going after that strange woman. He says in verse 11, it says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. You say, what is that? As somebody that's not listening, look at verse 12 and say, how have I hated instruction in my heart? Despised reproof. Man, we're all there. We're all guilty, aren't we? Ain't there been times somebody talking to you that you're frustrated with, or you think, man, they ain't no better than me. I ain't talking about a preacher. I'm just talking about counseling with you. And you're talking, and they say, well, I just don't think that's right. And you're just like, man, what's his problem? I want to do this. I want to go out with this person. I want to talk to this person. I want to do this right here. I want to head down this road. I think this right here is right. And somebody stands up and says, whoa, God sends you a messenger. And we ignore it. Know why? Because we despise the proof sometimes. We despise the messenger. But God sending that person is his compassion. That's compassion. If you're going to have true compassion, you're going to be a messenger. You're going to do things that God wants you to do. You're going to help people. You're going to be sympathetic to people's causes. You're going to be sympathetic to what they're doing, the way they're living. You're going to be sympathetic to all those things. You're going to be sympathetic to that. You're going to see people going through things. Look over at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Just thank God for his compassion. God is our standard. God is our example, the way we're supposed to live. And all I'm asking you tonight is this. Do you got compassion like the Lord does? You got true compassion? You got forgiveness? You try to help people about salvation? What about when people try to get right? Back in church, messed up, man, made a mistake, I did wrong. What's your attitude toward it? People get right, man. They want to get right. Welcome home. Welcome home. What about when they're messing up and they ain't asking for forgiveness? It's easy, man. Ain't it easy to just get mad at people and frustrated with people because you want more for them than what they want for themselves? Real easy to get aggravated and look at them. What's your problem? What are you thinking? Why ain't you thinking any better than that? What's wrong with you? Can't you see this? No, they can't. You know what they need? They need some compassion. And then sacrificing your life there, having compassion. There's nothing like compassion, especially compassion from the Lord. Down here in the book of Lamentations, it goes through 2.5 chapters, just talking about what they've been going through because they did wrong and God was having to bring judgment there, send them to Babylon and all the stuff that they were going through. About halfway through this chapter right here, the writer here begins to realize, the people begin to realize how good God is and and how things could have been a whole lot worse than what it was. And they begin to be thankful, and they begin to think, look at the Lord and think, you know what, God's been good to me. And man, if God was going to give me what I deserve, I'd been dead a long time ago. But he says this, here's what he says. Look down in verse, verse 18. He said, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What? It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. Look at verse 32. Verse 31. It says, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he has to. He has to give us whippings. He has to get us home. He has to get us in the right spot. It says there, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. God's compassions, they fail not. They fail not. Don't let the world tell you what true compassion is. Don't let the world try to tell you if you was a real Christian, you'd do this and you'd condone sin, you'd compromise with sin, or you'd put up with this and you'd put up with that. That's not compassion. That's called compromise. It's called condoning sin. That's what that's called. But true compassion, that's what true compassion is, what we're talking about tonight. And my question is, do you have true compassion for other people? Are you thankful? Do you think back about being that baby out in that field and nobody cared about you on your way to hell? Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross so you could go to heaven. We're going to have an altar call tonight. I'm going to go ahead and have an altar call instead of a prayer request tonight. If you've got an opportunity, you want to come to the altar, I miss Robin, if she'll come up and play. Let's all stand. You want to come up and pray? You come on. She can start playing when she gets up here. True compassion. True compassion, the Lord's compassions, they fail not. Thank God he didn't kill me when he should have.